Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to use this time in order that we may set our minds on the words that you would have for us today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. One of the traditions when you're growing up, did you grow up with stories around you? Did you have someone in the family who used to be able to tell how they grew up? Maybe they had a story of living through the Great Depression, or living through a time in which the history of the United States was so bad that living through it was an experience in itself. So today we want to take a look at this idea of the story. I'm going to put this in outline form. Some of you guys like the outlines. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about the story this morning. And it just seems like story after story has come out, first from Las Vegas and then from Texas. The weird thing being is that the guy in Texas actually, he worked in the same town as my parents. And so he was within just a couple of miles of where my parents live. That's an interesting story in itself. But you look at those tragedies, and after a little while, the news picks up on and carries the stories from Las Vegas, how so many people went to the ground, and people just cover them with their bodies in order that they might live. Other times it was the person throwing the other person over the wall, and then the other person looking to see if the other person would make it, and they didn't make it. That was their story. That was something they told. And so you have a story from tragedy. You also, on Veterans Day, one of the worst things a country go through is war. We are losing so many veterans that fought in World War II. And just to hear the way in which war used to be fought and what they went through, just retelling what they did, because it's so vivid, because they can remember. It's been seared in their brain, and they love to tell stories of what they went through. And so Vietnam, same thing. You guys have your stories. Persian Gulf, anytime that guys come back from Afghanistan, they have stories. They have stories that they lived through. And then family events. Some family events are happier than others, but Thanksgiving is this week, and sometimes you get together and you like to have a little meal and sit around a table, and what do you guys like to do? Tell stories. You remember back 5 years ago when you burnt the turkey and nobody could eat? And yeah, thanks a lot. I was trying to forget that. All right. But those are just stories that come to light. What about a funeral? You ever see that? That one of the things you do at a funeral, especially the family, will get together and they remember that one time when this perfect person just had this mishap, and the mishap covers all, maybe the gravy exploded and messed up the entire kitchen. Something like that. There's something where people remember something about their loved ones that's so small, and they tell a story, and it's attached to them as long as you can remember them. And so the power of the story. Well, my family has a story, and some of you guys are at that age where you can identify totally with this this clip. We had this. Let's just say we had this thing in our family that at noon every day something happened, and at noon it didn't matter what you did, you stopped as a family, and the radio got turned on at noon. Okay, I can remember coming up my first time in Minneapolis, and we were on a family vacation at noon. Dad pulled into a gas station in order to turn on the radio and search the radio, because there's one thing that you did at noon in my family.
Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You know what the news is. In a minute, you're going to hear the rest of the story.
Noon. It didn't matter where we were. You were turning on the radio, and for as long as Paul Harvey was on the radio, you didn't talk to my dad. You didn't talk to... He was fixed on Paul Harvey, and his voice is just seared in my brain because that's Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey told the rest of the story. And the problem with that is that no one can compare with his voice. He had one of those voices where he could just bring the story, tell it in such a way in which you were intrigued to find out to the very last who he was talking about and how it all tied together. And so Paul Harvey was a fixture in our family at noon every day. And so taking a look at this is when we take a look at telling stories, stories can be totally fiction. They can be totally made up. They can also be something that we remember from when we were younger. I also want to talk about something different. I'm hearing more and more of the case that if you look at the book of Genesis are the stories that people told. And then after a while, people changed them so much that they were just fairy tale. And so a lot of the biblical narrative in our culture today is told, okay, here's Cinderella, here's Snow White, and here's Noah. And they're all told in the exact same way. And so sometimes it's difficult. Okay, what am I teaching my kid? What are we teaching young people? Are we teaching them that this actually happened? Or are we teaching them something that's a story that actually happened, and here's how it happened bit by bit, and here's God telling us? So that is a struggle that we have in our culture. And so let me ask this. If the Bible is simply a book of fairy tales, what do we do with the cross? Where does fiction and nonfiction, where do they separate in the Bible then? Because after a while, it all becomes something that someone made up. And the problem is that we have so many historians that will tell you that this Jesus that was in Israel, that he died on the cross. Even the ones that hated Jews, that hated Christians, they told the story of Jesus, and they put him in a timeline. And so you can see the story fitting in to historical, accurate earth history, that Jesus did roam the earth. So the question is, did Jesus really die on the cross for your sins? Because that changes everything. Because he goes from someone who is in history to someone who quite possibly has changed your history, your story. And so that's what we want to talk about today. And when you look at your gospel reading in Matthew chapter 25, when you look at it, when you look at this, is this a story? Is this a story? Is this a story? See, yeah, I know. We come up with different ways in which to phrase parables, and we don't know exactly. How do you deal with this parable? How do you deal with parables in general? Can you take God at his word, or does God kind of use some intertwining words and imagery that you have to pick and choose what's real, what's not? This is a story that Jesus uses of some events that happened that he's bringing up that are twofold. That one, the story isn't necessarily something that necessarily happened in this manner, but he's using a story in order to tell, to drive home a point. And so that point is, there's three servants, and they all have talents. Well, what is a talent? What are they given? And so here is the biblical narrative is God's not giving them money. God's given them abilities. God's given them characteristics of their personalities. And yes, they're giving them property, land, wealth, cattle, house, home, everything that Luther talked about. And so Jesus says, okay, how are you investing in them? If God is giving them to you, how are you investing them into the rest of creation? And so this is where the story begins to take flight. Because here at this church, we know what our mission statement is. We know this is what God has asked us to do. It's on the wall, that go disciple all nations. And the way in which we're going to do that is called our vision statement. Our vision statement has to do with this. What's your story? What's your story? If someone told your life in a matter of paragraphs and sentences, what would they tell? What would they sit around a table and talk about? That you had some quirkiness to you? That you had some oddity? That you loved to serve others? That you had other people in mind every time you did something? What would people say when they told your story? And so we want to take a look at sharing our life story, sharing our story with others. Because our life story, somewhere in there, is this life event where the cross changed my life. Where the power of the cross says, okay, if Jesus is real, then that means that Jesus has this power and ability to change what I want in my life, in my story, to make it his story. Because I've tried so many different times in order to make my life what I want it, and I've failed. And my life doesn't necessarily get easier when I look at the cross. My life becomes more clear when I look at the cross. Because when I look at the cross, it, no matter what, I understand that God is trying to make me into someone even more different, better. That God is testing me so that what comes out is someone who understands why Jesus died for me, why Jesus went to the cross, why Jesus endured the whip and the nails, so that his story was my story. And when I tell you about my life, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. I might have little tidbits here, but when I hope that people tell my story, it is, wow, this is what Christ did through him. This is how Jesus was all about what he did each and every day. Problem is, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. And my story is that, yeah, my story is a failure. And yet a failure who someone saw value to give their life for this failure. And so my story is a failure that was valued by his God. And his God came to earth and gave his life. That is a story. And so that's my identity. My identity, my story is of him. And so when that happens, when we retell that story, that means that life has changed. That means that hopefully somewhere in this room that a story has changed because of who Jesus is, not because of what my ego says to me. And then it goes out from here. And then the next street, we find somebody else to find out, okay, what's your story? And then we go and we talk someone over lunch, someone we work with, what's your story? To find out what the story is missing. What pieces are there, and how God has changed or is changing that story in order that we are transformed to become like him. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, Lord. We pray today as, Lord God, we are about to sit around a table to eat, either with people that we know or people we have no clue who they are. Lord God, we're gonna tell some stories this week. Lord God, help us we reach out, Lord, that our story may be your story of your great love found in what you wrote to us so many years ago, and that those words are so valid to us today that we can take them, to digest them, to think over them, to meditate on them, and to take a step back sometimes and see, Lord, that you are changing us each and every day as, Lord God, you have called the rest of the world to change, to become more like you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.